Recovery 101, yeah, with your hosts Bruce, Shelley, and Mark. They want to talk with you, joke with you, and tell you the facts. They want to see you in recovery, working those steps. And when you're through, they want to chat with you. Put down the jack in the crack and take a step on back and go to a meeting and keep coming back. And then tune to recovery101.net. And when you're through, they want to joke with you.
Hey, I'm Dr. Drew, and you are listening to Recovery 101.
Thank you to Courtney for a marvelous Recovery 101 jingle. Recovery 101 does not speak for AANAOACAGAPASLASLASERRRMMDRAHAPAMAFAIR or any of the Anons.
Any of them.
None of them.
None?
None.
All right.
We don't even speak that well for ourselves. We don't speak for nuns either. By the way, Recovery Idol, if you want, record a jingle for us. We'll play it right at the beginning of the show, and we'll say thank you to whoever you are for our Recovery 101 jingle. And after we've had them for a while, we'll take some votes on them, and we'll pick a couple to throw into the rotation. Welcome to Recovery 101. My name is Bruce V, as always, with
Shelley
and Mark.
Awesome. Awesome. We've been having quite the entertaining in-between sessions here with the peanut gallery.
Yeah. We have not ripped through the shows tonight like usual.
I got to tell you, if the peanut gallery wasn't getting loaded, it'd be a lot easier, because this guy's going to the bathroom every 3.5 minutes. And he's coming back sniffling.
Watching someone that is, like, having active signs of addiction is quite disturbing, let me tell you.
Hey, dude, you missed a spot.
Yeah. Good thing you don't have a mustache, man. It'd be white. I remember when I was in college, they had an art show, right, for all the senior art students. And I'm there, and this one guy comes in, and I look at this guy, and this guy has clearly got cocaine on his mustache. I mean, it's like right down underneath his nostrils. It's just all over. And I go up to him, and I'm like, he's talking to, like, professors and stuff and showing people his stuff. And I'm, like, behind people, like, flicking at my nose going, hey, right there. And finally he walks up to me, and he goes, I don't know what he thought. He comes up, he goes, do you want some blow? And I'm like, no, dude, I'm trying to tell you, you've got it all over your mustache. He's like, oh, shit. And I'm like, and yes, I do want some blow. Yes, please. Yes, sir, may I have another? Wow.
What?
Well, it's time for the boozy news. And the news not fit for booze.
Okie dokie, Maniscokie.
Okie dokie, Maniscokie. That's actually quite warm over here by the studio
Donald,
heating system.
Donald, Bill, Fran, Robert, Deborah.
What are
Bruce.
You doing?
I'm humping
Bruce
the heater.
Bruce is humping the heater.
And anybody else who sent us a story that I did not get your name, consider yourself named and send me a message on Facebook saying, hey, I didn't get my shout-out, and I will give you a shout-out.
Hey, you bunked me.
Social media.
Overrated.
We are in Michigan. Michigan passed a bill, one of the first in the country, that will prohibit employers and schools from asking employees and students for their login information to their personal social media accounts.
Yeah, see, that's ridiculous that they should even be able that they
that
even
have
to make
a law
against that.
Apparently, it is quite the thing in some areas demand that your new employees and students provide you with their personal login information, their passwords and everything. That's ridiculous. That information has nothing to do with their jobs or their school life.
I mean, you know
sure
what?
It does.
I'm in agreement that if you post stuff and it's visible, that's fair game. Anybody should be able to. But the problem with giving someone your logins, that also gives them access to your personal emails, and that's not a job thing. I mean, you know what? I told a guy that I used to sponsor who just never really stayed. This guy's a stoner. I look on his page. He's like, yeah, I'm going to try and get a job. I'm like, dude, you need to fix your Facebook page. He's like, why? I'm like, first of all, in your like section, it's like chicks and buds, and you know, and it's like big tits and reefers, and I'm like, dude, any guy is going to look at your thing is going to go, 27 of the pages this guy likes is about weed. You think he's going to hire you? I don't think
so. No. Yeah, if you don't want it in the news, don't put it on social media, but that does not give my employer the right to my personal information. At least, IMO. Mark obviously disagrees with us.
IMO is in my opinion.
Yes.
I think it's supposed to be IMHO, in my humble opinion.
It's not humble, though. I'm stating it as a fact.
Oh, then I'm taking the trophy right now.
Kay. Wait. The trophy is permanently affixed next to my seat.
I'm way more humble than you.
Till you can out-humility me?
I'm way more humble than you.
Dude.
Okay,
not even close. Humble. It's ridiculous.
Okay, y'all, can y'all stop being humble for 2 seconds and listen to the
y'all
story
stop
about
being so humble?
Captain Trips over here?
Okay. Captain Trips?
Yes. Captain Trips is on its way. It has started. The plague, the Stephen King plague has started. On the Vancouver to Toronto plane, a woman was found dead in her seat on a train. The hospital confirmed that she passed away from complications of a flu, they believe. Four other people that were on the train had to subsequently be hospitalized for the same illness. It's begun.
Wait a minute. Wait. Flu?
Yeah. Well, they're not sure what kind or whatever, but a flu.
And there's four other people on the same train that are, like, almost dead from the flu?
They've been hospitalized. It doesn't say they're
dead.
Yeah,
but that's, you know.
That's the plague.
That's really fast.
Yeah, that's Captain Trips.
I have no idea what Captain Trips
You've never
Trips
read
is.
The Stand? Okay, that was the name of flu that decimated the entire world, and it
was
passed that quickly. They called it Captain Trips.
Really? Okay, that's why I heard
I
you
saw
say
The
Captain.
Stand.
Yeah.
And I didn't remember that.
I
well,
read
if
The
you've
Stand.
Read the book, because, okay, the movie really sucked badly. Yeah. Left out three, of course, you couldn't really do a movie
Dude,
of that book.
The book was monster size.
The actual size of the book, the cut down version was 970-something pages.
The one I read was longer than that.
The actual Stephen King approved version was almost 1,500 pages.
Yeah.
And I've read both. And
in
they
the same
did,
week.
Yeah, it takes me about
no,
2 days
you know
to
what?
Read one of those.
Believe it or not, that's one of the books that I actually read that I read really fairly quickly. It's like it was one of those books I almost couldn't put it down. I would read like massive pages, and then like the next day I'm reading massive more pages. I think I read that whole book in what for me is very fast, probably a week, and couldn't put it down.
Yeah, it's and then they made it into a 6-hour miniseries. No way you could put that book into 6 hours. It's too huge and there's too many details. At any rate, so it was called Captain Trips, and it's on its way. So get ready.
And the
it has. By the way, Captain Trips had a 94.8% mortality rate. So. Better start digging your hole.
So about the same as NAOACAGAPALASO.
Nice.
About the same mortality rate?
As recovery groups. In Berlin.
Berlin is
shit. In Berliner.
I'm a jelly donut.
A jelly donut.
Good old Kennedy. Germany's most respected news weekly, Der Spiegel.
Der Spiegel.
Published an obituary for former President George H.W. Bush.
Whoops.
He's not dead.
Whoops.
They published it in their online version. A reader quickly saw that the story had been published and contacted the editors and said, he's not dead. He's just in the hospital. And they took it back down.
Good thinking.
Oops.
But in the meantime, of course.
That'd be cool, though. If you're George Bush, you could have read what other people thought of you. They're like, what a great president he was. He's like, right on.
Well, interesting enough, because it went out on the internet, the next thing you know, it's all over Twitter. So for a while there, everybody had to say, no, he's not dead. No, he's not dead.
He sent out three tweets. I'm dead.
In Denver, you know, there's a big debate brewing in our
brewing
country.
At the Coors plant?
Yeah.
No, a big debate brewing over gun control. You wouldn't know it in Denver at the Tanner Gun Show. People, many, many people filing in and out of the gun show, purchasing equipment. One protester, one person with
and
a sign.
One casualty.
And basically she was ignored. But the reason why it made news was because there were supposed to be a whole bunch of protesters. And apparently some of the people that were supposed to be in the protest went to the gun show.
Got shot at.
So they were at the gun show and missed the protest.
You're
they
protesting.
Not to Walmart, but to the local Target and bought them shirts with the Target logo on them.
Yeah. You're protesting. Sure, you're protesting a place where they're selling weapons and ammunition. There is a good idea.
Yeah. Interestingly enough,
what are we supposed to fight off the zombie apocalypse with if we don't have weapons?
Woody Harrelson.
Well, that's true.
We still got Woody.
Still got Woody.
I do.
Still
yes,
got Woody.
I know, sweetie. Interestingly enough,
yes, you do.
This story irritated the heck out of me. Because it talked about the people that were going in and out of the gun show buying guns, and I'm quoting the story, proudly putting their First Amendment right to use.
Second Amendment.
Whoops.
Dudes, research. If you have not been to a high school civics class, do your research.
Their First Amendment right to bear arms?
No, they're specifically talking about the people that are going to buy guns.
Oh.
So, and they said, proudly putting their First Amendment right to use.
Were they talking to them?
No, they were just looking at them, watching them filing out of the gun show.
But wait, were they talking about the people buying guns or the people who assembling to protest?
The people buying guns.
Oh, because they were talking about the person
protesting. They were assembling to buy guns.
But there was only one protester. They weren't talking about the First Amendment. They were talking in the gun. It says people filing in and out of the gun show. They're not talking about the protester.
Okay, so they are idiots.
Yes, they are idiots.
Thank you.
Dudes. Okay, in Melbourne Beach.
Florida!
Wow.
Well, I'm thinking there. Melbourne. I'm thinking it's Australia.
No.
I thought you said a Melbourne Beach.
Zach Marks, 11 years old, was banned from Facebook by his parents because his parents saw his... He let him put up an account, which he's actually too young.
I was going to say, he's 2 years too young.
Yeah, you have to be 13 to put up a Facebook account, or 14, something like that. His parents said that it wasn't appropriate for him. But all his friends are on Facebook, so he's a little irritated. So what he did was he created his own social media network. He and his brothers and sisters got together, and they all created avatars. They created a website. They've got a whole thing. It's called Grom, which is a surfer word for a young surfer.
Rom?
Grom, G-R-O-M.
I've never heard that term. I used to be a young surfer.
The social media site launched 3 months ago. It already has 6,800 members around the world. It gets 2,000 visitors a day and 6,000 or so page views.
Wow. That's pretty damn good.
That's pretty good for an 11-year-old, and it's pretty
fast.
Selling
advertising?
But what I worry about is, you know, in order for you to get on the website, your parents have to set up your account. What's to stop a pedophile or a child predator from pretending to be the parent of a kid, setting up a fake account?
The same thing that stops them on everything else.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah, so I'm not sure why this is any safer than any other social media site, which goes back to what you're supposed to do is parent your kids and watch what they're doing. Just saying.
Dun dun dun.
Well, we have sort of an obituary, but it's really a hero. So,
well,
sort of a kazoo, a sad kazoo. We need a sad kazoo hero sound.
A sad hero?
Is it a dead hero?
He's dead, yes, but a sad hero. Lineup taps out.
Well, it's because it was kind of the heroes.
Okay. At any rate, Polish Archbishop Ignacy Tokarczuk.
Tokarczuk. Oh, I know that guy.
He passed away this week at the age of 94. He is noted for building hundreds of secret churches, Catholic and otherwise, in communist countries
Catholic
during the 60s.
Otherwise?
Well, Catholic, Christian, I mean, not just Catholic. He was a Catholic bishop, but he set up Christian churches for people that weren't Catholic.
Okay.
I mean, he set up churches all over the place. In the 60s and 70s, when the government was killing people for setting up churches.
That just shows you don't F with the Vatican.
No, there was no money involved in this. They didn't get money. The people that wanted the church would come to him. They would have secret meetings, and they would donate everything. They would help put the church together, and he was sort of the focal point around which people he would get them to help each other, basically.
Okay, so he died?
He passed away, but I'm just saying that he was a hero.
Are you sure the Russians didn't kill him?
He was 94. If so, they waited a long time.
You can't kill a 94-year-old guy?
Not very effectively. You don't need to take a whole lot of effort to do it.
Not that difficult.
He was kind of sneaky. What he would do was he would go and get a building permit from the authorities to build a farmhouse. Then all the little people that wanted to go to the church, all the little volunteers would come and outfit the inside of this farmhouse as a church with pews and everything and put a little steeple inside, and it looked like a farmhouse on the outside, but it was a church on the inside.
And they say, we all go milk the cows on Sunday?
Yeah. I don't know. I think that's pretty cool. You guys...
it's all right. It's all right.
If you ever wanted to see your writing in print... You have a chance now in Huntsville, Alabama.
There you go, Shelley.
Well, no. Actually, I think they should give this honor to an alcoholic. In Huntsville, Alabama, if you have ever wanted to name a beer, now is your chance.
Boom, 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 boom.
Okay.
Huntsville's Straight to Ale Craft Brewing Company is giving their fans a chance to name their new beer. It's called the 689 Brew. That's its working name right now.
Well, just take the 8 out, and it'll be good. The 69
brew.
Drink enough of these, you'll be in like Flynn.
They will be releasing this beer in spring of 2013.
Oh, I got it.
If you go to their website, you can email their website, actually. It's namethatbeer@straighttoale.com.
Go for it, Bruce. Okay. Tell us the name next week.
What's it currently called?
Stop Work 689.
Okay. The 68, and I owe you one.
Okay. We'll get to a story on that in
a
minute.
The 68 and I owe you one brew.
Yeah, we'll get to a story on that in a minute. So I'm just letting you know, if you ever wanted to name a beer, now you've got your chance. Pizza Hut is going to be picketed and what do you want to call it? There's a campaign going on Facebook right now to boycott Pizza Hut.
I like Pizza Hut.
Well, tell me why I'm about to order pizza from Pizza Hut.
Sam Swicegood, one of their pizza delivery drivers, he was out on deliveries when he was attacked December 17th by a group of 5 teenagers.
Uh-huh.
He defended himself, did not surrender any of the money or any of the pizzas,
uh-huh,
with part of a tent pole that was in his car with his camping equipment.
Okay.
Pizza Hut has cut his hours and demoted him because they're claiming he had a weapon in his car, which is in violation of company policy. He clearly did not. It was part of his camping gear that was in his car, and he was defending himself against people that were physically attacking him. And now they've put him in a position where he cannot make enough money from that company to support himself and is looking for another job. The company itself refuses to comment on the story. They're getting all kinds of comments. They'll put an advertisement up on their Facebook page, and people will start commenting to it, wondering when they're going to address the Sam Swicegood issue.
A, that guy's going to get $1 zillion in donations.
Yeah, where was this at?
It was back east somewhere. Yeah. I think
first
I
of all, they're
cut
franchised.
And Papa John's hasn't offered this guy a managerial role yet as spokesman. Him and Peyton Manning are doing a Super Bowl commercial already.
Yeah. What I get is he fended off 5 teenagers
with part of
a tent pole. I'd say give him a medal.
Okay, I have a thing from my past. I was a shift supervisor at a Carl's Jr. restaurant back east. They call them Hardee's. And we got robbed. And I'm in the back, and the guy comes up, tells the girl to give him all the money. And the girl says to him, do you have ID? And she goes, because I need ID, because I signed for this drawer, and I'm going to give you the money, but I got to see ID. The guy goes out to his car. A girl comes screaming in the back, call the cops. One of the girls locks the front door. The guy goes to the car to get his ID, comes back. Covina police are literally 2 blocks from where this is. They come, they arrest the guy. She gets fired.
That's BS.
You know why she gets fired?
Because she
took a risk with customer lives by telling a guy that could have been armed that she wasn't going to give him the money unless he got ID. The reason they fired her, for all they know, the guy could have pulled out a gun and shot someone. And she got fired. I'm not saying it's exactly the same as that story, but there's an example of someone that, in my book, I'm like, holy shit, that was perfect. You got the guy out of the place, you locked him out, and we called the cops and we caught the guy. I thought it was great. And they're like, you got to fire her. I'm like, what? Yeah.
I wasn't ready to promote her.
Yeah, really, promote her to management.
She went to Wendy's.
Wendy's probably snapped her up.
Yeah.
But in this case, he wasn't even in a building. He was out on the street by his car when he was making a delivery. It wasn't like, you know.
I'm just saying there's weird things like that where it's company policy and they're just going to make
it. So the company policy is he can't have any weapons in his car. He didn't. He had camping gear, and he happened to use the first thing that came to hand, which was part of a tent pole.
And the funny thing is the company policy at Carl's Jr. was if you get robbed, you hand them the money. That's the company policy. You
Still?
Give them the money. Probably,
Still?
And they're saying it's about a weapon. I'll bet part of their company policy is if you're getting robbed, you give them everything because that keeps you out of risk and it keeps anyone else in the area out of risk as well. That I'm just guessing, but that's what it was at Carl's Jr. The policy is hand them what they ask for because they can get the money back later. I don't know. I'm just saying. I'm not saying.
Is the reason why this country is going to pot.
I don't think so. I think it's going to pot because people are voting to make pot legal. So that they can order pizzas from Pizza Hut.
I think it's going to pot because we
let steal it.
I think it's pot because we let people vote who have no business voting.
Clearly.
All right. So, wow, we're way over time.
Oh, then pick a good one.
Crap, and I've got a couple really good stories.
Then pick a couple really good stories.
Okay, the 61-year-old Russian grandmother who is clearly a zombie. She has been brought back from the dead twice.
This is great.
But not brought back like they made a heroic effort to save her life. She was declared dead on a slab in the morgue for 3 days and scared the crap out of the morgue attendant when she suddenly sprang off the slab.
Nice.
3 days.
Made the family happy, I'll bet.
Family planned the cemetery. They were digging her grave, the hole, and the woman's daughter had to call them and say, stop digging the grave.
If she goes down again, cremate her.
Do something. And then the second time, heart stopped. She's in the pathologist's lab. They're about to do her autopsy.
You're going to do a post-mortem on her.
They were seconds from cutting into her chest when she opened her eyes and started talking. She's 61.
She's 61 years old. And you know what?
She is a vampire.
Could you imagine?
She's a vampire.
You're ready to cut. Also, don't cut there.
That hurts. Wow, that's really cold. Can you heat that instrument up?
Yeah, don't cut there.
How 3 days in the morgue. Sits up. Hey, my brother used to drive a coroner's truck. He said he almost crashed it once because a stiff sat up in the back. He said he looked at his rearview mirror. The guy's sitting up. He's like, ah. He goes, I really realized why they said to strap everything down.
Okay.
Apparently it was involuntary muscle contraction.
Okay, we got to do two more. Really
go
good. Really
go, 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 go.
Oklahoma City.
Woman the goes whistling down the plane?
No.
Just checking.
Woman arrested for a DUI. What is her name? Thomasina Harjo. She plowed through a crime scene tape and into the scene of a fatal accident.
Nice.
Came to a stop.
Killed one dead person.
She almost ran over a cop, but he managed to get out of the way. She stopped a few feet past the accident. The police got her out of the car, smelled the alcohol in her breath, asked if she'd been drinking. She said no. Breathalyzed her. Yes, she'd been drinking. She was drunk. They tried to arrest her. She resisted arrest because she said she couldn't go to jail because she had to go to court in the morning.
For drunk
driving.
And
she would get in trouble if she didn't appear in court. And when the cops asked her what her appearance was for, she said DUI.
This is true.
Perfect. It would affect her court case adversely.
You get in trouble if you don't show up in court.
Yeah, you
especially
do get in
for
trouble.
Drunk driving. If you've been drunk driving.
Okay, now on the 68 and I owe you one story.
Yes.
In?
Florida!
Yes.
Where else would it be? Maybe
Jenny
Vegas,
Scott,
right?
50 years old, was booked into jail on a misdemeanor charge of battery stemming from an argument with her boyfriend. They've been dating off and on for 5 years.
I guess he's not returning the favor.
Apparently they were, what does it say, pleasuring each other orally when he finished first and then stopped pleasuring her. Whereupon
That's
she became
and I owe you one.
Whereupon she became angry with him and began to beat him with a stick and then picked up a wrench and
wow.
tried to hit him with that. And someone, another person that lived in the apartment came and took the tool out of her hand.
Well, well, she had just removed the tool. Yeah, where was the tool before that?
The wrench. What I find interesting about that is that earlier in the day, this other person that's not named in the story heard them having an argument because she heard him having sex with another woman over the phone earlier that same day. Then she goes to bed with him? Yikes.
Are they married?
No, but she was described as extremely intoxicated.
Oh, well, there you go.
Drunk chicks.
So they're not married. It doesn't even say if they're boyfriend or girlfriend. She's pissed because he's having phone sex with someone.
Yes, and then...
Well, was it phone sex or sex? She heard him over the phone having
sex. It
says sex
over the phone is what it says.
Oh, phone sex.
Yes. And then she beat him with a stick because...
The Ma Bell syndrome.
He wouldn't finish the job.
He should have beat her with a stick.
I think he already had.
His stick.
He was done. That was the problem.
Yeah, he was all done.
You never learn. You're supposed to do her first.
Okay, and that is way past time, the end of the boozy news.
The New Way Foundation Victory House AWARE program is a state-licensed and certified substance abuse treatment provider located in Burbank. The New Way Foundation has a 50-bed residential program for men 18 to 64 years of age without insurance and outpatient programs for both women and men. New Way is a nonprofit foundation that is partially funded by Los Angeles Substance Abuse Prevention and Control under the Public Health Department and provides affordable and effective treatment. For over 40 years, New Way has been located in walking distance from beautiful downtown Burbank, numerous parks, and major transportation lines. In comfortable settings, nearly the entire continuum of care is offered by state-registered and certified counselors and interns. Don't wait for an accident, arrest, or overdose to contact us. Help yourself or your loved ones find treatment and the joys of recovery. When your way doesn't work anymore, try the New Way. You can reach us at 818-842-9416 or on the internet at new-way-foundation.com, helping 25,000 people find a new way since 1967.
Recovery 101, clean and sober, internet radio. Yeah.
We're back.
Welcome back.
Your dreams were your ticket out. Welcome back. To the same old place that you laughed about. I should say that the same old place that Shelly bitched about. So,
Marty,
we have a topic, Shelly.
You're back.
Marty's back.
He's back from the bathroom again.
Either he has a bladder infection or he's got a half a gram in his pocket.
Maybe both.
Is that a half a gram or you're just happy to see me?
Wow. What you're supposed to say, is that a couple ounces, or are you just happy to see me? Half a gram wouldn't make a very big bulge.
We need the gecko condom.
You know what? I don't have a frame of reference. To be a half a gram sounds like a crap ton.
Half a gram is like, you know what a half a gram is?
It's a good
line.
Like?
It's like a packet of Sweet and Low.
It's a good line.
Dude, you're a lightweight.
It's not even like a packet of sugar, because a packet of sugar is heavier. So we have a topic, Shelly.
Yay.
We
good for
just
you.
Went over it.
Yeah, I know.
And?
Well, I've always said you had a cute little bottom.
Nice bottom.
Yeah. How beat up do you have to be?
Well, what do you think, Mark?
Pretty beat up.
Pretty damn beat up. Is that it? That's
pretty good. I answered your question, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
So, boy.
Epic pause.
I was pretty beat up. I was real beat up when I got here. I was very done. And I don't see the level of
beat upness.
They seem to be more beating off than beating up.
Ow! My goodness. No comment, Shelly?
Sorry,
I was went there?
I was watching the crocheting again.
We lost Shelly to the yarn.
You know what I find interesting, and no one at home can see this. Debbie's crocheting a scarf while she's wearing the scarf because she's cold. So she's wearing the scarf while she's knitting it.
Yes,
or
it's
crocheting.
Long enough that she can actually wear it while she's
cold
crocheting.
Cold hands, warm heart, right?
That's it.
There you go. So, Shelly.
Yes. What was the question?
We're discussing the topic.
But
the
you
topic
usually have a question.
The topic is not crocheting.
Okay, but you usually have a question.
Well, comment on what
Yarn
Mark said.
Yarn talk on Recovery 101.
comment on what Mark said.
I can't because I was watching the crocheting.
Wow, you're really handing problems. Mark, you want to summarize it real quick for her? I mean, it wasn't that long. He said he was really, really beat up.
I was really beat up, and I've seen more people seem to be beating off than beat up.
Yes, okay, I got that part.
And I said he went there.
Yes, he went there. He did. I kind of agree with that in a certain sense because I've actually had a couple of – I mean, I can't even really call them sponsees because they only called me like twice and then they were gone again because they would say to me, and I'm quoting both of them that did this. Said,
we call that sponsee light.
Well – I'm not exactly sure what to do in the program. I said, well, we need to start working on the steps. And they say, yeah, but I listen to people. And, you know, it really wasn't that bad.
Then go back.
And that's the problem is that people are, you know, when they say that recovery is the new black, oh, I'm in recovery. Like, it's a voguish thing to do. So people think they party a little bit and then they think, oh, well, I better get sober. But do they really need to get sober?
It's a program catch-22.
Yeah.
It talks about it in the big book that the reason we share our stories with people is so they don't have to hit the depths we hit. And then we turn around and say, well, if you're not beat up enough, you won't stay. Because originally, that wasn't the original thing was we got guys out of hospitals and they were literally dying. And,
yeah, literally
and they were
pulling people off of bar stools.
They were talking about like throwing the life preserver of Alcoholics Anonymous to someone because they're drowning. They grab on as only the drowning can do. Yeah. And then we say we're gonna make it so they don't have to hit those low bottoms. So when they don't hit those low bottoms because we're pulling them up faster, then they can't seem to get it.
But
I can go now?
Yeah.
Okay. What about the guy who was in the treatment center because mom caught him with a dime bag of weed and he had smoked pot 4 times? And he's in a 30-day freaking program.
Yeah. How much less of a bottom
can
you have than that?
Yeah. The penthouse bottom.
The penthouse bottom.
Well, and the thing is, I mean, we have, you know.
The Paris Hilton bottom.
We have raised the bar in terms
bottom.
Of like.
Yeah, nice bottom.
The bottom thing because, you know, you don't have to go as far down. Like Bruce always says, you can get off the elevator anytime you want. You don't have to go all the way down to the sub-basement. But at the same time, then how desperate are you?
People drink and smoke pot and do stuff like that, and they're not necessarily addicts.
Right.
That's true. A lot of them. Even the big book talks about that. It says there are people that are just hard drinkers.
Yeah.
Or they talk about in...
recreational cocaine smokers.
When they're talking about the four types of alcoholics. Yeah. They talk about the four types of alcoholics, and they talk about the people that are merely potential alcoholics.
Yeah.
You know, maybe they haven't gotten there yet. But you see what I'm saying, though, because the book will say that we talk to people to try and keep them from hitting these tragically low bottoms. But when they get to program, certainly not the ones whose mom put them in. And you know, but you get the people that go there because they've had some issues. But maybe they haven't gone down as, you know, we've seen it a zillion times. When I first got sober, I had a fairly low bottom the first time. But apparently it wasn't low enough. And I had to get beat down numerous times after that till I finally felt like I hit the bottom I needed to actually do it. Now, I could have gotten off the elevator on any of those floors, but for me, none of those floors was the right floor.
I wonder, are people coming in the program today early enough that just by hearing the stories they hear in the rooms, they go back out and they don't ever... they're the cucumber that never really becomes the pickle?
Oh, I'm sure there's some.
Yeah. That's possible. I know one person in my Facebook group that was like that. She was partying a bit much. Mm-hmm. Isn't somebody I know in real life. It's just somebody I've talked to online. She was partying a bit much, and she was concerned about herself. She went to a few meetings. She didn't want to get to that point.
Yeah.
But she also didn't want to spend the rest of her life sitting in meetings, so she just kind of stopped what she was doing.
You sponsored
it scared her.
Someone in real life like that.
Yes, I did.
Came in concerned.
Mm-hmm. I actually kind of had to convince her that she wasn't an alcoholic.
Yeah, but you know, the who go from 2 drinks to 20 drinks, and they come into the rooms and they go, oh my God, I was kind of out of control. I should just go back to the 2 drinks, and they do that.
And then they're fine.
And they're fine.
That does happen.
It's not me.
The person, the sponsee that you're talking about, actually, I saw her not too long ago. She's fine. She hardly ever drinks.
Bitch.
She's married. She's got a baby on the way. Have a good job. She hardly ever drinks. What happened was somebody else, she went to a few parties, and yes, she drank quite a bit and got a bit rowdy and stepped on some tables and tried to take her clothes off at one point.
Tried to take her clothes off in the parking lot of the
502.
Club. Where the hell was I?
But she was not, this was a new thing for her that she started
taking
doing
her clothes off in the parking lot?
Partying like that. Was like a new thing for her.
Totally missed that, too.
Somebody told her, well, you're clearly an alcoholic, and told her she had to go to meetings. So she did.
The school told her that.
Yeah. But
she went to
a Christian school.
Oh, no.
But as I was sponsoring her, and I'm going through some of her writing and stuff, she's talking about these specific incidents, and I'm saying, well, how many times has this happened? And she said, well, I went to 4 parties, and then there was the thing in the parking lot. I was like, or 5 parties, or whatever it was. I was like, really? She just was not, she wasn't really a drinker. You know what I mean? And I had.
My hat is off to her.
I would throw something into the mix.
What?
I would expect that in, 10 years' time, we will see her back.
Why?
Because she may have only partied a few times, but from her description, she's one of those that eventually it's going to cut loose on her because she'd have 1 or 2 or 3, and the next thing you know, she's had 15, and she's completely off her rocker. Now,
possibly?
We might not see her for years. Look at all the alcoholics.
Does that make you an alcoholic?
Yeah, but look at back in the day. The people that drank and drank and drank, my first sponsor didn't get in the program until he was 63 years old. Clearly, he'd been at least a hard drinker for years and years and years, and eventually it caught up with him, and he just went off his rocker.
You know, it's possible she'll end up like me, a binger, a periodic binger, where she'll go years between binges.
Right,
you know?
And she might not even realize that until
maybe
later.
Not, well, and, but... You know, I mean, who's to say what anybody's bottom is? So things that scare the crap out of one people don't phase in other people. And we always adjust our expectations of life to meet our emotional needs. If my emotional need is to get loaded, I'm going to lower my standard of living in order to meet that need.
That should have been your final words.
You know, so, you know, one person's bottom, what was it? Big Book Mac always said, you still got to watch. You haven't hit your bottom yet. That doesn't necessarily have to be everybody's bottom.
I had a watch when I came in. It was a Carl's Jr. watch that you put on with Velcro.
That's just because your mom didn't want you to sell it for drugs.
Exactly. I had a watch. It was like $1.99 at Carl's Jr. So what do you think, Mark?
I don't think anything. No, I mean, I don't know. I don't know where... I mean, the bottoms have gotten so high that anybody can. I think people are getting to the program early enough that they actually can walk away once they hear what they're in for and be successful.
So you think higher bottoms, good or bad?
Good. Gives us peace and quiet in the meetings.
Shelley, higher bottoms, good or bad?
Both. Because I think it keeps some people that have a real serious problem and need to be there, they listen to what some of the quote-unquote newcomers that don't really need to be there say. They're not getting much out of it, and they leave.
Well, here comes the
question. But, But at the same time, if you get people in there that haven't really hit a bottom but are scared enough and they hear what they need to hear and they leave and then they have normal, successful lives, it's a good thing.
But here my question would be to you is if you said people with a serious problem who haven't had a low bottom.
That's not what I said. It's people who have had a low bottom with a serious problem that need to be there and they're not hearing what they're not hearing what's helping them because there are a lot of people in there that aren't don't need to be there.
As in you and I, Bruce.
Yeah.
People who have serious problems with a low bottom.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I had thought you said people that hadn't had, you know, we were talking about if a high bottom was good. And I thought you said people that had a serious problem that hadn't hit a real low bottom yet. Since we were talking about high bottoms. But.
No, people that had a serious, oh, whatever. Moving on. I'm too tired to expound on that.
So, Mark, what are your final words on nice bottom? Or how bad a bottom do you have to hit?
How beat up do you have to be?
How beat up do you have to
how
be?
How beat up do you have to be? You need to be beat up enough to realize that you're not as smart as you think you are.
Ooh. What was Aristotle said? The guy with the most wisdom is the guy that knows he doesn't know everything. Shelley, what would your final words on the subject be?
She gave them. She was first.
Yeah, that was a few minutes ago.
Bless you.
Bless you.
Oh, excuse me. Thank you.
Notice Marty's not sneezing.
No, not anymore. He doesn't want to lose. Doesn't want to lose his load. Let's pick on Marty. Dead. He hasn't been here in a while.
I don't know. I had some final words, but they've flown the coop.
Train has left the station.
The train left the station
derailed.
Without me. Derailed. Give your final words, and then I'll think about it.
My final words on the subject would be, you are the only person that can determine when you've really hit your bottom. Because I thought I hit my bottom numerous times, and I got sober when I got sober. That was it. You know, the time that I hit it, my last bottom, you guys have heard me say it before on this show, my last bottom was weak. The last time I got loaded, I did a quarter of a gram of speed.
But
that was it.
Is the last time you get loaded really your bottom?
Not in this case.
No.
My worst bottom was probably my first bottom. But that's the one that started the entire recovery roller coaster going for me. You know, fortunately for me, I knew where to go after that. The seed had been planted.
Shelley, have we given you enough time now?
I can't remember what I was going to say, but okay. I'll just say, you know, in terms of how beat up I had to be, other people that have really low bottoms may look at my bottom and think, well, that wasn't that bad because I didn't really lose much. Still have my house, had my kid, I had, you know, I still had a job.
I think it's not that bad.
I was going to work every day. I never missed work because of a hangover. But for me, I almost died physically. I mean,
that's
bad. That for me, that's a pretty good bottom.
That's a pretty good bottom right there.
You know, I was drinking enough that I look like I'm a 44-year-old woman on the outside. My insides are about 98. I mean, I'm pretty beat up on the inside. And I have recurrent health problems because of it. You know, for me, I had to get pretty beaten up. I knew I was an alcoholic when I was 19. And I chose not to deal with it at that time.
You weren't even old enough to drink.
And, yeah, I know. And it's only by the grace of God that I managed to live as long as I did to get to the point where I was willing to accept recovery.
How long did you live?
Well, so far I've lived to 44.
Okay.
Hopefully I'll live another day. We'll see.
Okay.
44 Magnum, baby.
It's not up to me.
Okay.
So, Mark.
What?
Who's our friend back east?
That'd be Bruce.
The other white meat.
He runs the 12-Step Gazette at 12stepgazette.com. You can read his fine publication online. You can get it emailed to you. You can get the subscription prescription, and he'll send it to you via the United States Postal Service. If you're interested in a franchise, contact Bruce, and he will give you all the information you need to bring the 12-Step Gazette to your little corner of the world.
Awesome. Shelley?
Yeah.
Go to recovery101.net. Click on one of the stories. stories.
Shows.
Whatever. It's late. If you're a member of Podomatic, that would be that's great. You've been counted. Thank you very much. You're helping us with the numbers. If you're not a member, you can become a member. It's free
and fun.
You can add us to playlists. You can find out. You can get automatic updates of when we post the shows. You can comment on old shows. Leave topic suggestions. Leave them on the top show so that Bruce can see them. You can like old shows. You can follow us. Yada, yada, yada.
Yada, yada, yada.
Recovery 101 Lemmings.
You know, Marty has a fat lip. The thing that fell on him gave him a fat lip. That's really depressing.
You know, if you do a gum shot on that, it'll really help, Marty.
Yeah.
A gum shot. Just stick your finger up your nose. Pick your nose and just rub it on your gums. You'll be good.
Being in the Peanut Gallery of Recovery 101 is like a full contact sport.
It is.
You get seriously injured around here.
Recovery 101 MMA featuring Marty versus the water cooler.
I'll take the water cooler and lay 2-1.
Yeah, we've got...
it weighs more.
Recovery Idol.
Yeah, we know.
Are you already burning your new chair?
No. We've got Recovery Idol. Do a jingle for us. Mention Recovery 101 or Recovery 101 Radio.
How long would you like it to be?
30
seconds.
It doesn't
have to be real long.
30 seconds.
I mean, we've had some that were full songs that were like 2.5 minutes. We've got a couple of those. We've got Courtney's is somewhat shorter than that. It depends on what someone wants to do. It could be a thing as easy as what we get from Sober College,
Recovery 101.
Internet radio.
Clean and sober. Internet radio.
Yeah, it could be something like that. Yeah. Whatever you send in, we're going to use, and then after a while, we'll vote on one or a couple to put in the rotation. You can send those by MP3 format to recovery101radio@gmail.com. You can join the crack advertising staff at recovery101radiosales@gmail.com. We've got videos at youtube.com/easylook. And youtube.com/recovery101rule62.
Do not take yourself so damn seriously.
Shelly, who's the lead out music by?
Eva Love.
Everybody, try and leave it better than you found it and be the example.
We're out.
And take care of you. More